will call the Lapine City Council to order on Wednesday, October 14th, 2015, at 6 p.m. and establish a quorum.
Dennis Scott here.
Kathy Agin here.
Karen Ward here.
Steve Martinez present.
And the mayor's present. And I think at this time I would like to introduce our newly appointed student counselor, Sydney Bright, who is a sophomore at Lapine High School, and it's an honor to have her with us. She'll be here for about 10 minutes or so because she has to rush from here back to the high school and be inducted into the National Honor Society. And then she's going to be brave and come back. Sydney, anything you want to say?
I'm really excited to be a part of this. I'm a part of a lot of different clubs at the high school, not just NHS, but I was appointed to this position through leadership, and then I'm also the president of FBLA, which is Future Business Leaders of America. So I hope to kind of combine all those things with this and help bring back a lot of different skills into each thing that I'm involved in. So I'm really excited.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And at this time, I will ask our chair of the Park and Rec Board, Gary Gordon, to say the Pledge of Allegiance and the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Gary. Are there any added agenda items from staff?
Oh, well, your agenda item from yesterday.
Right. Okay. We'll add the Greater Lapine Basin Cohesive Strategy Project to the agenda. And I'd sort of like to do that right after public comment.
Sure.
Okay.
And then you have,
I can't think of it, but we'll go from here.
Okay.
With that, then we will move to item number five, which is the consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I need to state that possible conflict of interest with the Board of Building Service.
Okay. Let it be noted. Motion?
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Thank you. And item number six is public comment at this time. Is there any public comment? We'll have another one later, so if you think of something or hear something, we can deal with it then. Item number seven is appoint counselors to committees for 2016. Rick, Kathy was telling me that the COIC representatives,
right?
She had been told at one time when she filled in for me that they, with the complexity of the issues that, you know, things carry over from one meeting to another,
okay,
they really didn't need somebody to come if the primary wasn't there. Do we have to appoint two?
I think what did they say that they can't vote? Is that?
No, they just said there was really no reason. It was during that day-long training we have, and they had said there was no reason to send a counselor.
Then I guess we don't need to send anyone. I mean, I'm on lots of boards, and no one takes my place if I don't go. I mean, if you think about it,
okay,
if you, because there's some truth to that. Mm-hmm. You're going to meetings, and you're discussing. It's you just send someone down one time and then they're raising their hand yes and no. I mean, so I think some committees do it, government groups, but I think that if COIC, maybe that's just been kind of how they've, sounds like, that's how they've operated. You vote if you're there, but if you're not there, you're vacant. Mm-hmm. They don't want alternates, or that maybe it's even in the rules.
Could be.
And you know, COIC is difficult to understand. And most, I wouldn't want to wish that on most people.
Well,
the mayor likes that.
Is everybody has a copy of the committees? Is there anybody that doesn't want to do what they're currently assigned to? Well, not hearing a big roar, I will move on to the idea that there's two positions here: Small Cities Network that Councilor Jones was on as the primary, and the COAC. He was on as the secondary. And Dennis, would you be interested in doing those?
Yeah, I'll just take over whatever he was assigned
okay.
to.
Okay, sure. That would be the secondary on the COAC and the primary on the Small Cities, Central Oregon Cities Organization. Okay?
Sounds great.
Do we need to?
Yeah, you can make a motion.
Yeah, I'll entertain a motion to appoint, keep the current members as they are, with the exception of the Small Cities Network and the COAC as secondary, be replaced by Dennis Scott.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Item number 8, discussion of Lapine Arts and Culture Commission. That should be item, it should be in the packet.
I thought you were going to have added agenda item first after public comments.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yes. There she is. Allison. The agenda item is the Greater Lapine Basin Cohesive Strategy Project. And if you would come and tell us why you're here.
I would love to. I think I need an acronym for this. It's a very wordy title. Come up with an acronym. Good evening, everybody. For the record, Allison Green, I'm the program director for Project Wildfire here in Deschutes County. So I actually came down yesterday and visited Mayor Mullinex a little bit about a potential project that is happening. It's actually a proposal that we are putting in conjunction, in partnership with the Forest Service and with Natural Resources Conservation Service, or NRCS. At least they have an acronym for that one, right?
Allison, can you pull up your mic?
It's live. Excellent.
Push the red button.
The red button. All right.
There you go.
Better?
Yes.
Wonderful. So I'm here to discuss a project with these partners. So this is actually a project for the Greater Lapine Basin. So what we're doing is we're actually requesting funding to have fuel reduction completed on federal lands, on larger private lands, so larger than 5 acres. And then Project Wildfire is also included in this proposal for any lands that are either within a neighborhood, so common areas, things like that, or acreage that is smaller than 5 acres. So we're here to actually kind of just tell you more about it, answer any questions, and hopefully get a signature of support before we send it on to some of the national offices for consideration. I know, short notice talking with Mayor Mullinex. So the kind of the project area is going to be a little bit over 340,000 acres here in the Lapine Basin. The very last page of the proposal in your packet actually has the map of the project area itself. On that map, kind of the crosshatched or the dotted area is priority one. So they're looking specifically at wildland urban interface areas. They kind of determined those from the local wildfire protection plans, and this area is actually encompassed by four of those plans. So they are actually able to direct that fuel treatment to areas where the private lands have determined to have very high fire risk, and those are also federal lands that are in need of treatment. One really unique part about this project is that actually the entire project area is already what they're calling shovel ready under the environmental process with the Forest Service. So essentially, as soon as these funds when they're awarded, we'll be able to start work almost immediately, which is very exciting. We also had a really wonderful workshop actually down here, reaching out to some of the woodland owners to kind of gauge some interest for NRCS. And we had about 20 owners that showed up that had, 10 acres or more that were interested in not only the funding, but they wanted to sit down and talk about forest health, wanted to talk about fire resiliency and how to make sure that their acreage was creating a safe space for wildlife and for their neighbors. So I know with short notice, it makes it tough. So a lot of what Project Wildfire will be working on down here is not only will we be working on sweat equity, is what we call it, is where, essentially the landowner would do a portion of work and then we cover, up to 75% of whatever the other cost is. But, we're also going to be doing community outreach and trying to build a community feel around wildfire preparedness. And so, those fire-free days, we're hopefully going to get one off the ground here in northern Klamath County and expand that program a little bit further. And then work on, some maybe even 5 for 5s with Tony DeBone to talk about fire and water and some of the environmental issues that are, our residents are facing down here. So that is Project Wildfire's piece. So we're hoping to get almost the entire Lapine Basin outreached and touched in one way or the other when we're talking about wildfire preparedness and treatment down here.
Allison, who will be doing this kind of work? Who are the people that actually boots on the ground?
So boots on the ground, the federal lands will be federal crews. And then they also are going to have a contract with Deer Ridge, a Department of Corrections crew, to help with some of that overflow just to build some capacity. And then NRCS, they will actually be doing contract with each individual landowner. So if they have larger landowners that are over 10 acres, they would have a contract with that landowner to either hire the work done or do the work themselves, and then the landowner would be reimbursed. And then along our lines for Project Wildfire and with Ed Keith in Deschutes County, essentially what we would do is we would be contracting with a contractor. We have 25 in our approved contractor list to either pick up or help do some of that fuel reduction on the smaller lots.
Are there any of our youth involved in this kind of work?
We actually work really closely with the Lapine Forestry Club. We are doing actually a huge chipping project, about 40 acres, I would say maybe a quarter of a mile away from the high school. And then we've actually been working with them on a couple of the parcels just north of the high school. And they went out there and did a bunch of thinning, which is wonderful for not only, their proficiency in chainsaw, but it also helps us kind of meet that in-kind match. And then we figure out the rest of the cost with our grant.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything, Dennis?
Sure. Say there's a 1 acre lot and the owner has a bunch of debris on it that's mm-hmm. a fire hazard.
Right.
Is that something you're saying you would take care of?
In theory, what we would do is if that was a concern, I would actually come out, myself or Ed Keith, we'd come out and we'd chat with that landowner, we'd talk about why it was a hazard. We also want to hit this educational component as we're moving forward. So what we call sweat equity, we would tell them, okay, so we have this 1 acre, let's work on it, and let's get 3 or 4 of your neighbors, let's haul it to the roadside, and then we will take care of the disposal for you.
Okay, and where do you find these lots? Do you tour the neighborhood, or you expect us to
so through a list? Through word of mouth. I actually have a pretty extensive homeowner list that I use for the Community Wildfire Protection Plan outreach. And then actually through this workshop that we actually just held and planned, we had quite a few folks that were of the smaller acreage that just weren't able to make it on short notice that we have their contact. And so we're working through them, working kind of through that list as we go right now.
So that would actually take care of part of our nuisance ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kathy?
So is this, would this be a combination of looking for nuisance areas, or is it basically limiting the fuels? That's the main goal, to get out and limit the fuels.
Right.
So if you happen across nuisance areas or mm-hmm. concerns, you could deal with it, but you're not necessarily going out looking for those?
That's correct. Okay. Yep. We're looking for mainly ladder fuel reduction and forest health.
Stu? Oh, yeah. I'm glad to see your project Wildfire being a little more organized down here.
Thank you.
I know it's been, you know, throughout southern Deschutes County, mm-hmm. but mostly concentrated up in Spring River, that area.
Right.
So bringing it down here closer is awesome. And a good example is where we had the fire a couple years ago by the new school. Mm-hmm. All of that was treated through your project.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically saved probably quite a few structures. So, you know, between your work into that project and, you know, the county commissioners, because that was at that time and still is owned by the county.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a good example of how this project works.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited about it. I really am.
Thank you. I'm excited. And that's another piece of the puzzle as well, actually. Project Wildfire, outside of this, independent from this project, we currently have grant funding for some of the smaller woodland owners from Sun River South. So, you know, along those lines, word of mouth, you know any landowners that are interested, send them my way. And we can get something hopefully off of the ground.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Karen?
No, it sounds like a great project, and it sounds like it's grown since the last time I heard that.
Absolutely.
So, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'd like to spring off of what Stu said about every time I go by the new neighborhood here, I look at how high that ladder fuel is, and we talked, and Allison and I talked about this yesterday, that would be a great project at this time. To look into, because I have talked to Commissioner DeBone about you know, the county's role in looking into that. So it was a great opportunity to discuss that with you, and maybe something will move forward on that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
For question.
Sure.
Yes.
On in that area, mm-hmm. I know Ed talked about the future problems it'll pose from the receding. What was left out there as far mm-hmm. as clearing off the dead trees or
right.
trees that are harvested. Mm-hmm. Was there any more done with that? I know some was cleared out of there, but is your project involved in that?
So the salvage logging that took place on there, it took essentially any tree that was, you know, something that they could make profit off of. They left a few seed trees that they thought might survive, since the fire was so high intensity and because of the species of the pine tree. Survival, we'll see how it goes. So far, so good. I mean, 2 years later, there are still some standing, which is a really good sign, in lodgepole pine. And Ed and I actually went out, I think, the February following that, and those giant slash piles, we burned those when there was snow on the ground to make sure that, you know, we had plenty of room for that to take place. I actually am really impressed. I drive by it every day on my way to my office in Bend. I'm really impressed with the bunch grass that's come back in there. So the bunch grass is going to be, you know, relatively fire behavior wise, it's going to be much better than brush. I haven't walked it to go see how much reproduction there's actually been, but lodgepole tend to do relatively well in reproduction after a fire. That's actually how they like to reproduce. So we'll see how the tree production goes. But for now, I think it's ready to reproduce. We'll just see how it does.
Okay. Anything else, councilors?
No.
Hearing nothing, then I would ask for a motion to approve signing of the document that she has with her, ready to be signed.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. Approved.
Allison, do you pick these, or do you guys pick these out in the forest? Do you work with the U.S. Forest Service or the BLM on those areas?
On the areas that are being treated?
Yeah.
Yes. So
there's an area I wanted to submit. Can we do that, or is it picked already?
For this proposal in particular, these areas are already picked. But if there's an area in question that we want to talk about, we can, you know, take it to our federal partners, because part of that community wildfire protection plan that we completed last year down here, part of that is the community input on where our federal folks should plan to put their fuel treatment. So if there's an area of concern, we can take it to our federal partners.
Well, my area of concern is our water source.
Fair enough.
Because we have a nice little cyclone fence that if a forest fire is crowning and coming through there, mm-hmm. the heat would conceivably take down our entire water system, which is the water that people fill the fire trucks.
Right.
And that needs thin and buffer outside of our fence. I think that's the water source for the entire community. Mm-hmm. And I think that needs to be back a quarter mile, thinned and so on, so that at least it slows down and intensity reduces.
Okay.
I'm not talking about clear cutting.
Right.
But definitely after the problems we've had, and I've been out there, when I see trees, I mean, it's a forest.
Right.
And that thing comes blowing in there, and sure, we have pumice block buildings with metal roofs, but that heat will fry everything.
Right.
So we've got to reduce the BTUs coming in there. And I just think since it's a water source, and I know they're thinning up in the Bend watershed mm-hmm. around, what tree is it that they, the Tumalo Creek and all of that, because that's where they get their water.
Right.
Our water's coming out of wells, but we have our tank and our pump houses are there, and we've got one separated out there, and it would not take much, and a fire comes rolling in there,
right.
So I think that needs done.
Okay, perfect. I'll actually take a look at the land ownership tomorrow, and
okay.
then I will tie in.
I don't know if BLM or Forest Service.
I think you might be right on Forest Service, but let me take a look at
okay.
the land ownership, and then I'll follow up with you tomorrow on that.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Do you have a document?
I do. All I need is an autograph. Thank you guys so much.
I
really appreciate you working me in.
All right. Go to the discussion of the Lapine Arts Commission. You all have a copy of the item number 7. Well, let me get mine out here. Well, I think we worked through this at budget time, and I think we've talked about this at a work session. The idea is to really bring arts and culture to the community. And I'll just read this because it goes right to the point of it. The purpose of this commission is to promote the educational, cultural, economic, and general welfare of Lapine by actively pursuing the placement of public art in public places within Lapine city limits, while also serving to preserve and develop public access to the arts. One of the issues that we have here is our youth and even the adult population don't have access to the many forms of art. And we're not just talking about paintings and drawings and the normal things we think of when we say art. We're talking about sculptures. We're talking about murals. We're talking about placement of items on the street that represent heritage, let's say. You know, your craftsmen are artists. Your musicians are artisans. And so it's a very broad spectrum. I would like to tell you that the Regional Solutions Team, which I'm a member of, and plays a big role in what's going on in Lapine today as far as helping find ways to resolve a number of our issues. Number one priority in the first tier is arts and culture. And it's recognized as a very direct connection to economic development and quality of life. So the idea of appointing an arts and culture commission for the city of Lapine is really a perfect timing right now that we will move forward as we grow as a city, bringing along the arts and culture for our community. As we grow in industrial strength, that quality of life piece will grow with it. There's enormous opportunities for funding and support to actually get this commission and the whole program off of the ground. We currently have partnered with the Ben's Arts Center Central to apply for a mural grant that will be painted by the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders in our middle school sometime in the spring. We have a very good indication that the grant will be approved. And in that grant, there'll be a resident artist that will manage the program. So it's as I said, it's a great time to be bringing this forward. And what we have here is sort of a timeline. I'll let our assistant city manager pick it up from there.
This is certainly one, you know, route that we could move forward as an option to bring more arts and culture to the city of Lapine. And I think, you know, looking into in the next month and really taking some time, probably in work session, to think through what the alternatives moving forward would be would be, you know, my recommendation on that. It's clear, as you outlined, that arts and culture is really important, and I think it is important to underscore that it's tied to economic development and quality of life. And so now the next question is, how do we really maximize arts and culture and allow opportunities for people to be involved in the community? And one option is to have a public commission. There are other options as well. So I think that's something that you know, we need to look into moving forward. So,
any questions, Council, at this point?
So the intent tonight is to what?
Just to bring it to the attention that we put together sort of a timeline and a basis that we can talk from. So I think having it at a work session where we can really talk about it, name, you know, point out people that are already in our community that can support the program, that are excited about getting this going, and also bring some of the Arts Central people here to give us a better understanding and a viewpoint of how this can play a role in Lapine's future.
And is the members already being appointed?
No. And basically, so what we're talking about is we'll talk about this in a work session. We'll start a community gatherings to discuss it. We'll make an effort to round up those people who are currently in the fringes or involved in art, from school teachers, etc. And from that point, we'll have a collection of those that have knowledge, have worked through art commissions and or art organizations in the past, to give us an idea of really what it has brought to other communities and that they've had exposure to. So
when we had the architects here talking about, you know, forming the city, as far as sculptures and stuff like that, so basically an art commission could take care of all of that for us, as far as signage, sculptures, branding, lapine.
I wouldn't say that branding lapine. I think it would be more just the case of putting together a program that would fit Pine in the way of public art, community art, and expanding our access to it through a body that would have the knowledge and where, whither, and.
But as far as the city's concerned, I mean, the overall city, they'd help with city signages, stuff like that?
No, we're talking about, let's say we want, give an example. Yeah. One of these days, we're gonna see a lot of work done going through Huntington.
Right.
You know, a lot of, you know, sidewalks and all that. And when that comes along, there is actually a federal program associated with public art. And that program assists cities to bring, and it's always going to be a matching program, to bring public art in and put it in place in a community. Therein is part of your culture. So when you go to Bend or you go to Redmond and you see all of this public art that's sitting on the street sides, street corners, and on the streets, that's a specific program. So when you're actually doing a lot of work, like right now, the work that's going on around the stoplight, we see the track, the lights that they're putting along the sidewalks. You know, it'd be a natural thing to implement a public arts project in conjunction. So
you bring, like at a work session, you bring a couple people down here so we can talk to them and have their input. So
yeah,
sounds great.
Yeah.
I think it would be nice to see some sculptures or something throughout town and interest.
You know, and here's another thing. You know, and I've talked to the city manager before about, you know, putting art in this in City Hall, bringing public art from statues, carvings, paintings that would lend themselves to being safe while they're in here. I mean, you know, we've been looking at these maps for what, 8 or 9 years?
5 years.
Anyway, so.
Well, you're still gonna have some maps in your.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what you're here for.
Yeah.
So we do need to be able to look at things.
But there is space within City Hall to put things right, like statues and art. So anyway.
What we would have to try to do is sometimes I think your timelines may be aggressive, that probably it'll be hard to follow, I think, with the Thanksgiving and Christmas coming and everything. But we're going to have a work session on this. And so be careful. Don't make commitments, I think, to people as to what you're forming, all of that. I mean, I think that until we've all sat around and discussed it, I think when we're going to form an actual city commission, you know, there's lots of community groups or groups interested in, like the bicycle group, you know, but they're not a city commission. We have to be careful, because when we get into that, then it's minutes have to be taken, staff member has to be there, vacancies have to be advertised. We'll have to have an ordinance drawn up. Our legal bills, because of marijuana, we spent about 10 grand on marijuana. And we just, today it's very obvious to me looking at things that we just have to be careful, but to form a committee that requires a quorum, and then you can't do business without your quorum there. And it's never, it's not, in other words, the Public Works Committee or Planning Commission or those, we do street work, we do those things that are part of a city function that we do when you have an advisory committee. I think to start a commission that's never even had a real vetting or a meeting yet, I mean, I almost think that maybe for 6 months you need to see how much interest is there. Do they show up month after month? Before we just go form a commission, spend all the money up front, advertise the vacancies, get the people appointed, and so on. You may find that limits you in arts, because arts is a little more, you know, you don't want to have to do things maybe the same way that a public committee has to. You know, when you want to meet, you've got to put a notice out. We have to run it down to Ace Hardware. I just think you have to think about that before you form. The arts is a great, and I'm supportive because I think there's neat stuff. But I'm just wondering if there's a non-public group of interested people, just like you have with lots of things, that can meet, discuss it, and then they can come, say, a proposal of the mural you've talked about, and say, hey, we'd like to apply for your mural, and we can work with them in doing that. Things like that. But I think you do have to think through, it's when it's an official city committee, it's an official city committee.
Well, I think I you're absolutely right. I think there's, we're going to get to look at all of that, but I think there's value in the idea, because it adds strength, being a public commission. I think there's value for the city in that. And I mean, granted, we need to vet this and find the pieces in the community that would make it a workable group. And there are other ways. But having a committee, there's lots of cities in the state that are that have arts commission. Oh, they work very well.
I didn't say we shouldn't have one. I just said that we've never really even saw if there's 10 people interested.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, normally you spend, I'm probably not saying it right, I'm trying to, and I'm also trying to be very careful how I say it. So I just think that you gotta kind of gauge the support in the area. Make sure it's a function, and is it going to really work? Because the city commission, the Public Works Committee, only works inside the city limits. But when we talk about art in the area, and many of the people interested in art very well are people between here and Sun River. And, you know, so is it need to be more of a South County regional arts group? Not a just the city of La Pine. I'm just talking out loud. I don't know any of this, so I don't know that we need to have our attorney start to draw up an ordinance 2 weeks from now on forming a committee that says, according to this, that there's a staff member will be appointed, and you know, all of this. And that's, or we just need to kind of back up a little, let the group form, and start having some meetings and see what they come up with.
And if I could, maybe start with not such a formal committee. I mean, sure, other cities have something like this, but other cities have a bigger budget. I know we have some budgeted, but I think, if I'm hearing everything right, we need to kind of test the waters before, and doing this by putting it out there, let some people come forward and see what kind of, hold some public, or you know, a town hall meeting or something.
Yeah, and I think that's all part of what Corey and I have talked about.
Okay.
You know, we there's no doubt that we don't want to rush into something, and we've got the plans to start that. You'll see that at the bottom of the page. While that is an implementation timeline, and it may be aggressive, especially with the holidays coming upon us, because we normally don't have a second work session in November and a work session in December. That's reasonable to say it that way.
Right,
to move forward.
With a holiday schedule, and I don't think we need to be aggressive.
No, and I'm not saying that we would. I just see value. One of the points that I want to make is that, you know, these groups that are outside of an official capacity, that are just community groups, and believe me, I'm just talking about Lapine. I think that if we're going to have a commission, we can have it relates strictly to the city and still have members from the outside community, because we do that with our planning and our public works commission. But I'm not talking about that we're going to be doing or spending money or anything like that outside of the city limits. City money, taxpayers will be involved, paying city taxes that will go into this, so we need to be very careful there. And that's really where I see all this going. But having a formal commission would you know, these other, you see them all the time through a small community like this, and I've seen them, you know, something will get started, and then somebody will leave, and then they slow down. Well, where you have a formal structure, it's a lot more, it's a lot more likely to sustain itself. So
one of the differences is you have to be careful. My job is to lay this stuff out. So is that we by statute have to have a planning commission. It doesn't matter who the mayor is, doesn't matter what his passion is, we will have a planning commission. We will take care of roads. We will plow them, we will grade them, we will stripe them, and we will do all the things we do with sidewalks. It doesn't matter who is elected and who isn't. It might decide what road you take care of, but not that that's a duty and a function, sewer, water, roads. What you're forming, we have no core function or responsibility. You personally have passion for it. But what happens when we form a city committee? That's why I'm saying you got to make sure that there's a broader base and a passion that is beyond anyone. We don't form a city committee because someone is interested in that topic, because it's not a core function that we would continue necessarily absent. It takes that driver. And so we got to be careful who else
I agree.
So that's why these things often, you got to see it. Maybe you have a certain idea, but the other people have another idea. And so you got to kind of start meeting, gauging support, and seeing what other people say. Maybe they want a 9-person committee. Maybe they want 11. Maybe they want who? I have no clue, but I would be a little careful just jumping into forming a formal city commission that has to have quorums and has to advertise everything and have Patty sit here and take minutes, and we have to then approve minutes. There's really a lot to that. There's a high threshold, I guess, before we do that, and I'm not sure, in my mind, based on lack of really much being talked about over time, that are we there yet? That doesn't mean that 6 months from now we might be there, or a year from now. I'm just not sitting here between now and in the next 60, 90 days, is that where we are? Because I don't want it to fail, and I don't want it to not work. They're just things I throw out.
We're going to have a lot of questions on this.
I'm sure
we will. Let's all get our questions together, and then we can talk about it, you know, when we have all more input.
I think you're right, Dennis. I think the key, And Rick has just pointed out, and we mentioned it earlier, that and the next step was to bring the groups together and all of the people that have already stepped forward and identified themselves as being interested in doing this, and the need that it there really is in the community for it, that's the logical next step. And proceeding from there, you know, because arts commissions in other cities are successful. And they've survived, they have community support, obviously, or they wouldn't be there. So logically, the next steps are is to gauge what's out there and then look at the idea that the council has.
Well, and that's it. Look at it, but not in such a formal way that we have to advertise and pay staff until we know for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean,
there's... I like the idea. I really do. We've talked about it.
I'm in total agreement that this needs to move forward in a fashion that we'll all be comfortable with the end result when we finally turn them loose on their own. To go out and do this worldly thing that we're talking about. So, with that.
So we further? Won't. What's? Is there anything you want us to do at this point with it, or wait till you have your meeting?
No.
Just kind of.
Yeah. This was strictly just a opener, and actually this whole document was just some. We took several ordinances and looked at them and pulled material in from them. There are seven. There are commissions that don't have. The structure that we've looked at, we put together an outline, and that's really what this is.
Starting the conversation.
Yeah, starting the conversation.
And we've identified a logical next step, and,
right.
And maybe this will be a topic at a work session sometime soon again, to where we can dive a little deeper.
Agreed. Okay, everybody comfortable now?
Mm-hmm.
Good. There's no need for a vote. Item number 9 is motion to award a construction service contract for the US 97 at Wickiup Junction Utility Relocation Project and authorize the city manager to execute the contract.
Mm-hmm. Shifting gears a little bit to an infrastructure project, the US 97 at Wickiup Junction project, the overpass, there are some utilities that are going to be moved. And the city is going to pay the upfront costs. But the good thing is that the state, ODOT, is going to be reimbursing all those costs. So yesterday, there was a bid opening, and in your folders, you have a spreadsheet. I don't expect you to go line by line through this, but this is what was used to determine who had the lowest bid and where the bids ranked next to each other. The lowest bid was identified. That's already been sent to ODOT, and the second document you have attached is a letter from the state of Oregon with a notice to proceed and award the contract and begin construction. So we won't have another council meeting for a month or more, and really what this motion is for is to approve the city manager to authorize the low bidder subject to no formal bid protest.
Okay.
So that's an overview. If you have questions and want to dive a little bit deeper, I'm happy to answer those as well.
And Scott and Eric are here.
Scott and Eric are here.
This is just an ongoing thing. This has to be done before the project starts.
This is prep work.
Ongoing.
This is it. This is all the removals or relocations that need to be done.
Before it starts.
Yes.
That's always done first. They want them out of the way before they do anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any questions?
It's 100% reimbursed to us. It's a little bit odd to us. We're not used to this kind of thing. They're going to pay us back, and they're paying for Eric's time. It's something we're not going to be out any money. Basically, originally, we were going to pay $100,000. This is one that, but we went in and fought back, and thanks to the good folks here, we said, now wait a second, questioned them on a couple of things, especially an easement on the, or not an easement, but a snafu on the Gordy side of things. And we kind of pushed back, sat right in here at the table last summer, I believe it was, and said, now wait just a second, now how is that going to cost the city? And then they started re-looking at it, and it came out to where we're not putting out anything.
Good. Yeah.
So it's $100,000 savings.
This has to be done pretty immediately.
Yeah. They've already let it, so what they're just, you know, they just let it. It's we're doing it.
Yeah.
there is an appeal period that someone, one of these other people could appeal if they thought something was done wrong. So we're kind of waiting for that, but we won't meet, but they want to get going on it. So you're waiting. Corey's asked you to authorize me to sign it, providing there's no appeal filed in the next 10 days.
Without further discussion, is there a motion to approve item number 9 as written?
I make the motion.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. There you go. Discussion on changing the date of the November council meeting. Item number 10. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so the regular session is currently scheduled for November 11th, which is Veterans Day, and the work session is scheduled for the 25th, which is the day before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So that's sorted to set the stage.
Do you have any special days you want to do that?
We were thinking of just splitting do it Wednesday. We're just going to split instead of the second week. Or the fourth, right. Or the third, and that way for people taking off for Thanksgiving, they don't have to worry about it.
So first and third weeks?
No, just the third.
Just the third.
Yeah. Just do the third. The first we wouldn't have anything to do. Just do the third.
On the 3rd of November, is that what you mean?
Oh, no, the 3rd, in the 18th.
Oh, the third week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just have one formal meeting, and that way the bills are in, and we can do it. Now, if we need an extra meeting, we might have one.
Council, is there consensus that we change the meeting to the third Wednesday of November?
We probably better have a motion.
Okay. So is there a motion?
It's set in our whatever that I call it.
Charter.
Charter, yeah.
Okay.
So we move to move our meeting from the 11th and 25th to November
18th.
Second. Moved and seconded. All those further discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. Approval of snowplow contract with Vic Russell and the Pine Equipment. Staff?
Okay. Corey put these together. They're much, we put out our notice for 3 year plus two, so we don't have to do this quite so often. But we actually, the last one was a 3 year. So we're doing a 3 year snowplow agreement. For snowplow, we went through our normal bid and all that kind of thing. And we received our bids in. We were gonna recommend you do both, but there's a little bit of a change. So for tonight, I'd like you to approve the contract with Vic Russell, and not Mike Shields. So,
okay.
And we are gonna then figure out possibly something different on that topic.
Okay.
So I had to pull that. I had some discussions with Mike today, and so there's some other work we're gonna have to do before that. And so it's possible Vic will add, we may do an addendum with Vic and have him do them all. He's got lots of equipment. And also then I'll probably see if Mike talks to us in the next couple days. And so for just tonight's sake, just pull that one. We want to approve the snowplow agreement for Vic Russell.
Okay. Any discussion, Council? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agreement to provide snow removal services with Vic Russell Construction?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 The motion's approved. Authorization to procure bids for landscaping on the First Street project. All right.
Yeah, so I just want you to, since it's going to be a pretty site, you know, it's a $100,000 type project, somewhere in that range, could be 50, could be 110, I don't read around the code, but it's in that, you know, it's a big enough one. I want you to thought maybe make sure you're on board. I know you are, but that's really more for the record. We want to go ahead and bid out met with Eric today. He was here earlier. And we're going to, now that you can see where the sidewalks and the areas will be landscaped, you know, before when we looked at it, which we were going to do it, obviously, a different way, but because of the grant that came in, kind of goofed us up. Now we want to go, because you can actually, people, in the last time it was bid, like, for example, the irrigation system, no one, all the landscapers in Central Oregon, no one in Central Oregon can bid it. You didn't bid it. So which means you paid for people to drive from the valley, and that ups the cost of rush. And I think part of it was they're doing it just off blueprints. They can't come walk it. It wasn't built yet. It's an ODOT project at that point. A lot of the companies, the smaller, medium-sized companies, don't want to go through that bureaucracy. Yep. So by us bidding it now, they can go walk the sidewalk, and they can measure, get their tape measure out. They don't have to kind of guess, because you know what things look like in a plan and how they look on the ground can be a little different. So what we want to do is get your approval. Go ahead and get that bid out. I'd like to bid it in November, award it maybe in December-ish. We'll get a better price because people are looking for jobs for next spring. And have it done, and one of the things I've said to them is done by like the 20th of May. So before Memorial Day weekend, the trees are in, the grass is in, okay. And it looks good. It's out, give them April, May, you know, to basically do it. It's not that big of a project. And so we'll have a meeting with the bidders, and we'll get Central Oregon bidders, I'm mm-hmm. very sure. Yeah. We're doing it this way.
I've got a question. Will the bioswales have grass in them like they do in Madras?
Yeah, just like out here.
Okay, just like this. This is our demo, so okay.
So there may be a couple places that won't for various reasons, but yeah. Yes. They're going to leave that. When they're done, they're going to leave it with 4 inches. Mm-hmm. 4 inches of topsoil, that all comes in the contract that's there. So you'll end up with it. And that's another thing that people bidding can come out and see the topsoil. Because otherwise, you know how bidders are. They have to guess how many yards of dirt am I going to need. This way they can really... The other thing is those ponds are a little bigger than I thought at that end. And so I was telling Eric, I said, I want to relook at that. Maybe there's a few more trees need to go in and kind of decorate those up and, you know, have a drip system go around and... You know,
right.
So it looks good because as you're coming in, you're going to see those. And so you know, and you put some trees and forest, looks like a pond. You just kind of doll that up a little bit.
So you've got a landscaping
architect. We have a, why don't you tell them who we are using? And
We're working with Marlis Underwood as a landscape architect, registered landscape architect. We have a preliminary plan that's up there. Yeah. We're going to take another look at it before it goes out for bid.
Kind of freshen it up now that it's done.
Right.
And then we'll go bid it ourselves. It won't be an ODOT project. The differences are significant. Yeah. The bonding and the requirements. And people just get, you know, smaller companies just get nervous. They're like,
Well, we only have X number of dollars to play with anyways.
Yeah.
So they have to do within that.
Well, they'll give us a bid. Right. We decide what we... If we had to cut a tree or, you know,
right,
whatever.
Cut it down.
But Marla's did this out here, and she's out of Sisters, so she knows the high climate, you know, the cold climates at 3,000, 4,000 feet. We'll come walk it with her, and then we'll probably have, during the bidding process, we'll require anyone bidding to come look at it, to walk, talk about the species, and, you know, just all those little things.
That's a great looking project, by the way.
It is.
Really impressive.
Yes. Rick, what about the finish? What's the date? Do we have a timeline? I had heard from Pat Krenigan that it was going to be welcome back. Let the record reflect that our student counselor has joined us again. And we're talking about the landscaping, Sydney, down at the new traffic signal area. But is there any kind of date for when they're going to be finished?
I don't know one.
I've been told the last week in October.
Probably getting close. I mean, yeah. You know, it's like any of these projects. I mean, they can give it there. It's going to be done when it's done. Because by the time they put the arms on there and put the light signals on, there's a ton of testing that goes on to make sure that they trigger right. That's a week. They do all kind, you know, so who knows.
Okay.
We're sitting here on the 14th, whether that's all done in 2 weeks,
I'll bet it's a week after, but...
I was told the second week in November.
Anyway.
Yeah. But it's looking, you commented, it doesn't look good. You can see with the poles and then our decorative lights. You kind of start to get a feel for how light lit that's going to be with their lights.
Makes you excited for the downtown area to get put.
Well, that's what it's going to do, I think, people. And then I started looking today on the garbage cans and things, so we're going to try to put some garbage cans on the First Street, so the kids coming back when they're coming from McDonald's. And, you know, so, and maybe a couple benches somewhere, so someone's walking, they can stop, take a break, and someone, the senior citizen, you know, and stuff like that, just to kind of make it a little bit, not a ton of it, but enough to make it kind of look just a little different. And it'll start to give us an idea of what downtown can look like, you know. So.
Okay.
Exciting.
On our sidewalks, I know we talked about receptacles for our flagpoles.
Well, no, they're not in this project.
They're not in this project. Where?
They're just going to have to go in the grass with the, those, like you normally see the flagpoles in most of the towns. And the that wasn't specced into that.
I thought it was.
I did too.
Yeah. Receptacles of trees.
No, he means... He's talking about round deals for the flags that will be drilled into the sidewalks. That doesn't ring a bell to me, are they?
I don't believe they're in the sidewalk, in the concrete that High Desert Aggregate is putting in.
Well, I don't see any.
Now, we could go along, drill them, which is about what they do. And you drill and then put them in and then glue them hard, because there's really more to that, that you need a steel casing.
Right.
Then you need, because otherwise you're breaking your, it's more to it than like everything.
Part of these that got poured into the sidewalk when they installed them, it was, they had to come back and actually core the sidewalk and install one that it worked. I think it was an easier project to core them after.
Yeah. Okay.
So we could do that some once we're done.
Let's talk about it.
We can look at that. The other thing what you're going to do is, you know, you have the things that they spike them into the grass, you know, those as well.
We'll talk about the drilling and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. We can go do the, have that done. We just have someone go do that for us.
Okay.
We're on that subject. How about the maintenance?
We will. Well.
We're going to do all the plowing of the sidewalks, the new sidewalks.
Well, no. Businesses plow their, under ordinances, everyone's to plow the sidewalk in front of their business. That's 100% somebody, whether it's ODOT, somebody owns the Burger King. Or
so that's basically ODOT's corner right there. Though.
Yes. And we are working on an ordinance that will memorialize the responsibility of the property owner to mow what's in front of them. Right now, we're mowing in front of IMART and all that because it's new. But what in most cities, that is done by ordinance. It's a requirement of, because it's part of the landscaping in front of those businesses. So they got a little confused. I got the wrong draft they sent me. It was not at all what we wanted. But anyway, got that worked on. But they're working on an ordinance that will get us, so that will be a responsibility. When we met with people on this next phase, that we discussed, we went out and we told them, you will be responsible mowing and taking care of that, fertilizing and so on. And in fact, in the ordinance, if you don't do it and we do it, you can then actually go back and charge them. And that's true in matters in Redmond, that's normal. And so it's not something we're doing that's, you know, it's part of your land. And you don't want the city out running lawnmowers around up and down all of these. Now, if you have a place that's abandoned, sometimes you end up doing some of that. But pretty much where we are right now, it's in front of businesses that are open. And of course, ODOT's got a lot of people.
Yeah.
So.
Okay,
So you guys wanted to authorize us to move forward, did you?
Right. Is there a motion to authorize the moving forward on procuring bids for landscaping on the First Street project?
I so moved.
Moved?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Author authorization to tow vehicles and remove debris and rubbish from site on railroad.
Oh, my God. So, you want your lights? Oh, yeah, sure. Ashley, you got
I'm on my way there.
All right. We've been working on this, but I thought make sure that you guys know, let's just say the green.
The green line is a pointer.
Thank you. She's got me set up here. This is the property on Ten Bush, the Ten Bush property on Railroad. We have been to board a couple times, and it's a property that's, you know, at the far end of acceptability of what's unacceptable. Is that, it's the,
that sounds,
do you guys get that?
Yes, I get
that. Nothing's easy, believe me, and it's why Deschutes County hadn't in 10 years gone to court like we did in the entire county. And so we're learning in this. First of all, ordinance withstood the court twice. Now, it's never been challenged, but I guess at least the judges were fine with it. That's a good thing. This property is now in foreclosure for taxes, which happened in the middle of all of this, which we knew it was coming because it was closed. You have a 2-year redemption. They're at 1 year. We got that word. I've today talked to the county assessor and the tax department, and then I just got a call at 5 o'clock or 4:30 from the property folks, and then my other call is into the county council, their attorney. So it's going to be a four departments I'm going to have to work with to figure it out. This is interesting, to say the least. What I'm asking you for now is we have a court order that allows us to go in and start cleaning things up, picking things up, and removing things. That's not as simple as it sounds. But we're planning to do that. And we're going to go in, what I would call in maybe a 2 or 3 phase process. The first phase is the easier.
Total.
The easier things that aren't borderline.
DEQ or...
Yeah, just the stuff that's pretty obvious. And it doesn't, if you do this, it doesn't cause something else. Because in some cases, if you take X, it's going to make Y fall. So then you got to decide, can I have Y fall if Y is connected to the residence? And there's people living in that residence. So I'm being very careful about how we move forward on this. Then what it is and normally what you do is we would go in and we pay and get this done. Then we would file a lien on the property, and our ordinance allows it, and this is what cities do. We file a lien. Then when that property sells, or we can actually go try to collect on the lien, we can do it. That's how you get your money back. If we went and spent 10 grand, at some point over the next year or two, you assume you're going to get that back, and there's ways for us, without getting into details of it. But that's what you become a lien holder. Now, when property's going to the county for taxes, all those liens are wiped out. And if we have a lien, ours would get wiped out. So that's made me take a little bit of a step back and say, okay, now where do we want to go? However, there are some ORSs that allow you to work with the county. That's what I'm pursuing now, is they have a way under a certain value that they could actually
deed it to us.
I don't want to use that word because I don't know the terms, but there are some ways that there's secondly maybe that if they sell it, we get paid off. And this is all, it would be something that they would do because they don't want this, because it's going to exceed their value. See, so that's what I told them. I said, so if we do nothing, you're going to end up with nothing. And then the taxing districts aren't going to get anything because no one's going to come get it. You are going to have a blighted property, and then we're coming after you because you're now the owner.
Yeah.
So I think we will work at something out. So what I wanted from you is authorization to spend up to $10,000 on this.
We probably, in this first phase, aren't going to spend anywhere, not even half that. But I want that authorization. And then over this process, we'll figure out how it's best to be recovered. Because at this point, I cannot sit here and tell you exactly how that would work. The court gave us X amount of days to go in. And that clock's been ticking. So I think that we will be able to collect back. And but I'm not going to get too deep into this. I'm not going to spend a ton and risk that. But it shows you the difficulty. It's easy to come in here and say you need to go clean that up. But the devil is in what we're going through. Because if you're a functioning family and everything's good, you tend to clean it up when we send you a letter. But when you get clear to the court stage, there's a lot of things that aren't working right in your whole situation. And that's what you have here. So it's kind of like the people that are a little bit messy, we can clean up. The people that are real bad, it's much tougher. And I just don't want to lead you down a path that you know, if we spend $5,000, can I guarantee you'll get that back? I don't know that.
They're so, still on that property then.
Correct.
I thought they vacated it. Okay.
Well, there's people there.
Okay.
The owner of the property is not on the property.
Okay. So what's your first action?
Well, our first action will be, and I'll show you just to kind of, you can see, we can go in and pick up garbage like this, you know. And with backhoes and Scott and all of us are going to be there, we're going to get some big dumpsters in there. And we'll have the county guy here. So, why don't you turn the lights down one more notch?
Is that full of garbage?
Yeah. Yes, it's open. I want you to, you can't really tell as well until we get this a little darker here. Yeah, you'll notice up there to the ceiling almost inside that. Mm-hmm. That's a trailer. It's not a camp trailer. That is a mobile home that's probably a 50s, 60s vintage that probably has asbestos. Nobody wants that trailer. See, the problem is you have to have an asbestos test route, which means it has to be emptied of all the garbage first before you can have the test. It can't be moved until you have a test. These are all the things I've discovered in talking with people who do all this. So, needless to say, that's going nowhere. They said you could wrap it, have it hauled somewhere, and then dismantled. That's $20,000. There's a camp trailer there. You can see that's a fifth wheel with some of the furniture in the yard next to that. This is a motor home with some of the extra things, the wheelbarrow and the wagon. And then there's a camp trailer behind that just kind of goes with this. And then other items that you might need. This is the residence, which has broken windows. Appliances, there's numerous appliances, several over the years that have not worked, and so they're there. And there's the laundry. the tires, of course, and this is a small part of the tires. All the tires, of course, for the vehicles are here. Those we can get. The chairs, of course, on the roof.
Yeah, I like that.
This is inside the mobile home, the one mobile home. You can see the rafters.
It's not made that, a trailer. Oh, that must be a tip out because it's two by fours.
No, that's not a tip out. This is a trailer. A mobile home.
This don't look like a
that could be the shed. There's another. Okay, so that's what we have there. So what we would like to do is, since we've went this far, we want to go in, and it's a good case study for us, I think, because you kind of need to know how it works. So what we will do is the sheriff will be there with us, and we'll have Scott Screw and a couple other contractor. We'll get three dumpsters delivered that morning, and we'll go in for the day. The other thing which isn't on here is the vehicles. We have numerous unregistered vehicles. Scott's called them. Talk to a company that can come get those. We have filed, Corey.
Sent public notice. We've mailed notices to them. to the owners and if there were any security interests to them as well.
So we've got numerous vehicles that have, we've sent notices out to, that their timelines have all passed and no responses to anything. So there's no liens on any of them. They're all fairly well long been paid for. They are not registered for the most part. Anything registered, we're not touching. You know, so if it's a working vehicle. So
and we did get one response, and we're not going to leave that vehicle either.
Mr. Tim Bush, one of the sons, called me and said he has one vehicle that is registered, and he was on our list. I don't know.
We will double
We'll double check and leave it there if it's registered. But bottom line is we're going to tow off several vehicles. We're going to pick up what we can, and then we're going to take closer photos, get a feel for what's next. Then I'm going to spend some time with the county and decide where we be in all of this. If we spend more, where are we going to be protected? Or we may decide just to let it sit for another 11 months, let it go through that process.
So you're just basically going to go in there and pick up all the garbage?
Basically.
And clean out the trailers?
No, no. We're not going in that trailer. That's going to have to be a white zoo with hazard stuff on. We're not set up for that.
And what's preventing them to just to continue doing it all over again?
Nothing.
Any questions, Council? Hearing none, I would ask for a motion to authorize city staff to tow vehicles and remove debris and rubbish from the site on there.
Spend up to $10,000.
And spend up to $10,000.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. We approved.
Now you can turn the lights back on.
I'm having trouble. Other matters we didn't have any other matters that got down this far. So we're now at public comment. Is there any public comment? Hearing none, I will move on to staff comments.
There's a hand.
Oh, yes, sir.
I just wonder where all the young people are.
Could we have your name and address, please?
I'm transient.
Okay.
By the Crooked Courts. Just want to know why I notice when I go to these meetings, I don't see any young people. They never taught us in school. Nobody watching out. The government is, I won't even go there. What it is terrorism in a court, stealing innocent people's children, lands, and freedom every day across America. The internet's our number one gun. It's a proven fact. Cameron, don't lie. I don't know what we're going to do about it. I seen that wagon in that picture. They should be putting them judges in the wagon. They say these judges across Lake here in Oregon have stolen so much they'll never walk free again. They're putting them away. They'll be picking them up down here at the base of these hills here. Rail cars. You're loading them in. These sheriffs will protect them. If we went down there and got a job there at the sheriff's department, and they move us up into the courthouse, right, courthouse duty, we'd be in there protecting the thieving attorneys and judges while keeping the victims quiet. And that's what's happening across America. We need to make a change. No, that's all. That's what's happening across America, and I'll keep painting until we bring them down. If they can steal my mother's 160 acres, you know how she found out about her court date? They took her into arbitration. My sister lives in Nevada, in McDermott, Nevada, and she left a message. So my mother called my sister, and my sister told my mother that she was supposed to wait by the phone for a hearing, a court hearing. Didn't give her no time, just wait by the phone. And so my mother, she's frantic. It wasn't till 9 o'clock the next morning she got a hold of Anthony Abatazzi's office, and he informed her, the secretary informed mother that yes, it's at 10 o'clock. the hearing. So mother rushes off to Bend, and once she's good and gone, they call me back. They call back to the house and tell me they need me to come in. And what they wanted me there for is they handed me a 7-page asset list, wanted me to mark it was his and hers. I told the arbitrator, I don't know whose is whose. He says, I think what they're getting at doesn't matter whose is whose, just mark it if it exists. Well, mother had problems with this property in Gilcrest. They said she didn't have a patent on that land, that she didn't own it. She was going to log it. Crown Pacific was going to log it for her. She went to the Forest Service, get that permit. She didn't own it. Well, that piece of land was on a separate piece of paper. You know, they had all the property, and that's what they did to her. And them cops over there, all protecting it, chasing me through this field like a bunch of lunatics. And another thing, the way these cop sheriffs drive through this town, you ask Brian at the Shell station, you ask these people in this town, them cops are nuts behind the wheels. They're going to kill somebody is what they're going to do.
Sir, could we have your name for the record?
Well, they call me Bill Gates' little larva trying to perfect the Picasso theatrical scene.
Right.
And the internet ends their war on corruption right here in this little bitty town. I may have said too much, but it is what it is.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Any further public comment? Hearing none, I will move to staff comments.
Do you have any questions? We always are working on lots of things, so.
I'll give a real quick update on some progress with the Lapine Community Cemetery. So we had a working group meeting last week, and we'll be having another one next week. And hopefully bringing something in front of you, probably maybe at a work session, maybe in November, maybe December, but again, with the holidays coming up, I'm not sure yet. We'll take that step by step. I got in touch with Jim Smith at the county, and he runs the Community Restorative Justice Program. And I believe he was out there this past weekend.
Saturday.
He was there Saturday, and he will be back again in, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend. And it was really encouraging to sit down with him because he actually said that he wanted to strengthen the connection between the programs that he helps to facilitate and the city, making sure that people in the community are serving the community and helping to better the community that they live in. So that was encouraging. And then also, I didn't put the pictures up, but I'll maybe share it at the next meeting. Took some pictures of Mayor Mullinex and some of the volunteers that he helped to corral through the Band of Brothers, is that correct?
Yes.
And they were putting up on the east and west side of the building that's out there some walls that are about four feet high, and those will protect from the elements, especially in the winter when there are services going on. And then the next phase, next week, will be painting the cement floor and primering and painting the interior of that wood building. That wood building was put up back when there was a cemetery board, and the city was able to invest a little bit of money and some volunteer hours to make sure that that structure is there and standing and serving the community for decades to come. So that was a quick update on some cemetery stuff that we have going on, and there will be more updates in the future.
We get a lot of lots of planning activity all the time, every day. And today we met with a gentleman who was looking at some land in the industrial park. Today we already got him out an offer. He was here at 11, and his offer by 4:30. So, you know, they can't say we were slow. You know, kind of a just what I do is with these people, they'll come in after. Now that we kind of get our systems down and how to do it, and we have template leases and things that we've arranged. So, you know, we put the square footage that they're wanting, or acreage, the location, and we give them a sale price or something. And it's not binding on either party. You just kind of let, they go away then with something that they can go to a bank or go to whoever, their partners, and that's in writing. It's not just, so that's something. We have two leases, and one lease out, one lease with an option, all to the same people, two different properties. Then we have one other option out. We're working on BioGreen this week. I met with the attorneys on Monday in Bend, and so we're working on a BioGreen option agreement, and that's going to take us into, that's a little more complicated, takes us into next week.
And we have Anderson Perry looking at the water kind of side of that. And then today we started entering our engineer record, which Eric's been doing it, but we've never actually did a process for an engineer of record. Most cities have whoever the engineer, they represent us. They review, they go out, look at your sidewalks, look at, you know, they review plans and things, make sure the drainage is right. And today we were talking about standards for roads and things like that that we lack. So Eric's been doing it, but we want to have a 3 or 5 year agreement, and then we have other people, you know, put in for it, and we have someone else coming down next week that we're going to, and then so look for quickly after that a professional services agreement that would hire our engineer of record. So that's exciting.
Okay.
Anything else that you have questions on or things that you're wondering about?
Any forward movement on the PA system?
No.
I'll just
move that
in with the phone bid.
Well, today we had the electrician in on the blinking lights, but it's more, it's like everything is more complicated. And he says to her, well, we need to go around and replace every ballast, and, you know, it's going to be $2,000. And I'm like, now, wait a second. So, I mean, you know, nothing is simple. And we're a public entity. If you're at home, you can do things like you want. So, and then the second thing is we are getting out. We're going to have someone give us some pricing. We're going to get 2 or 3 prices to prune up the bushes for the winter and get everything
good back.
So it'll look good. You know, probably the PA system is just going to be after in January, February, March. Because, again, we have to put out an RFP. We have to first know what you're asking for. And that is a whole lot of money. So I kind of want to get past. Our legal bills are... You know, this last month were $8,000. You just do that by the year, that's $100,000. Well, we budgeted $60,000, which means we have to find $40,000 in our budget. This stuff isn't free. So when we go, that's why you see me questioning, forming things and doing things. And we just have to be careful. We're a little town and we just can't be, you know, this cleanup case sounds simple. And there's people in the room that say, just go after them. Well, you know, we have to go to circuit court with an attorney, you know, and so it's by the hour. So this stuff isn't free. So you're going to see me, if you wanted me to go after another one like this in the next 3 months, what, you know, my answer is going to be, we can't. You just can't. And that's true of any city, and that's why they go years without doing it. So right now, the PA system is, I kind of want to get past the first year, see how we are with spending. Because, you know, you guys ultimately have to decide, do you fund the arts, do you fund PA systems, do you fund cleanups? I mean, that's where we could end up, right?
Well, didn't we put the PA system in the budget?
Well, yes, but we have other expenses, though, that weren't. The $10,000 on the cleanup is not. It's not a line item anywhere.
Okay.
And we spend 10, 20, 30 grand more on attorney bills, that's not in the budget. So you have to save it other places. And I can't save it from the street fund because it's not a street fund charge. It's not a water fund charge. It's not a sewer fund charge. So
does the speed trailer fall in the same?
Yes.
Okay. Counselors, anything on staff?
Yes. What's the update on the nuisance ordinance? I know a couple months ago, Corey was gonna get a list of all the violations and start sending out letters. I mean, how are we doing on that so we don't end up with a project like that? Are we doing any letters as far as the nuisance ordinance, or?
I can move that up the list and make it more of a priority. I have not sent out any letters in the last month and a half. I think I sent out a round earlier, and I don't know if any progress was made. One of my goals, personal goals, professional goals, is you know, to maybe take Fridays and try to say I'm going to spend, you know, 2 hours or 4 hours or whatever the amount of time is on certain projects. You know, code violations is not the only one that would fit into that category. And it's interesting. You know, there are a lot of people that walk through City Hall's door and are asking all kinds of interesting questions. and I give everybody the time they deserve and try to manage that appropriately. So I'm not trying to give you a long-winded answer of saying no, but not much progress has been made on that, but I know that that's a priority and that's a goal.
Well, yeah, it should be, so we don't end up like this. And of course, I think, you know, shine on the pine, and I hope everybody's seen it. We've been out there doing a lot of work, mm-hmm. and we're visiting all the businesses, and I think you can tell the difference that the businesses are actually picking up, cleaning up, and that goes along with the city's nuisance work.
And I would say, in the couple months I spent with the city last summer, and I did some code violation stuff then, and the time that I've been back since about July, all the code violations that I've sent out were regarding, say, like trailers that were being lived in. None were about like overgrown vegetation or even really trash per se. So there's different buckets within the code violations that even with code violations as a topic, we need to prioritize those. And I would think we would all agree that the trailers that are being lived in on lots are an issue.
And garbage.
And garbage as well, sure. So, okay, a little context as well. Sorry.
Yeah, we got to move
absolutely
forward.
Absolutely.
I mean, appreciate every single study is beautification of the pine. I mean, that's what we have to.
Yeah.
I mean, right. So that's why we formed the Shine on the Pine, mm-hmm. and we just need the city to try to work with us a little bit more on.
Sure. On an update, actually, as well, when I was at the League of Oregon Cities Conference, I sat in on a session that was all about code enforcement, and I made a good connection there. She's the code enforcement officer with the Dalles. It's about a city of 12,000, so 10 times approximately bigger than we are. And I reached out to her, and she shared some information for me. There's actually an Oregon Code Enforcement Association that has a small initiation fee, and that is a good network of people to draw upon. And a level of resources. So I've done a little bit of research, sort of have a game plan and better target code enforcement, I guess, instead of me just running around and trying to send letters here and there, try to have a more holistic strategic approach. So I've thought about it. I have not made a lot of headway on getting letters out.
Probably every council meeting, you're going to get the same question from me.
Sure. Well, I think that, you know, that's good. I mean, because it gives us, him and I talked about it today. I mean, you know, we will prioritize things, but that means then sometimes then other stuff. So if we, you know, a lot of people want us at lots of things. You know, Corey speaking from the chamber, you know, we're that. Well, you have to put together stuff that you're going to present. You don't just go down there and stand up there. You know, today we met with some citizens on the meeting coming in 2 weeks that all the state agency people are coming, and we're coming out. Who's representing what part? We're going to have to each build a PowerPoint. He's doing one. And it's so.
I know you're busy.
Yeah.
I know that. But this is part of your job, too. So.
Yeah. But my point is, if you tell us, then not do something else and do that. Because that's. Another thing, remember, now I want you to say it, but you, in most towns, there isn't a city manager that's doing code enforcement.
Exactly.
So we have to be the jack of all trades. He's out trying to figure out, what do you do at a cemetery? Mm-hmm. You know, the depth of the issues, and that's why a small towns of this size, the code enforcement is a planning function that people get six-year degrees in, and we're trying, without raising legal fees, trying to do, and so complain and tell us, code enforcement always gets kind of when time is left over, and just today we talked about, I said, you know what you're going to have to do, is you're going to have to just take what I've done, is I just take X amount of time and you go do it, which means you then have to tell other people, we just, you know, work on. So you know, we're trying to prioritize economic development, the ODOT projects, getting the bids out, making sure that we have a contract that's legal for our city engineers,
Well, snowplow's coming. Get those contracts out. Interview those. So you're going a lot of things. And code enforcement tends to be, it never ends, and you just kind of, But we will do whatever. We work for you. So if you said, I want you to do code enforcement over the arts, tell us. Because he's going to have to staff the artist meeting.
Well, we'll talk to everybody, but it is a priority to be with Final Pine.
Let's get to another counselor, please.
Okay, good.
On that subject or totally different?
But if you've got any comments for that, or any of the other counselors have comments on that subject, we could go there now.
Well, I think we know.
We beat that to death?
Okay. I think so.
Can I say one thing first, too?
Yeah.
I think we also ought to, as counselors, recognize the fact that we have a new assistant city manager on board. And I'll use Dennis as an example, in that you're going to spend the next 8 months, truly, you will, getting used to being a counselor and picking up all the pieces. And I think it's fair, as counselors, to recognize the fact that we have a young man growing into and taking over more duties from the city manager and working through how to best make everything work. So I'm very appreciative of what we've got in the way of staff, but I'm also interested in making sure that we all understand that there's going to be a time before everything is put together in the way that Corey, I know, would want to have it put together. Stu?
I lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
We did have a lead meeting, a Lapine Industrial meeting.
Yesterday.
Thank you. And it was held up at Sun River because we do have a couple members on the board from the Sun River area. And it was a very informative lunch meeting. Before the meeting, there was a little tour for the folks that wanted to go. They had a couple of new improvements that the Sun River Lodge itself has in place now. A beautiful, nice members' swimming pool, you know, of course. But the topics were good. We had the district ranger from the Deschutes National Forest was present. They were talking about recreation and tourism aspect, that the whole Central Oregon, you know, needs to be aware of. A new possible trail system going in, and it was well attended, so stay tuned.
Kathy, anything from counselors?
No, I just want to say I drove down First Street because I've been gone for a couple of weeks, and it was exciting to see the lights and the sidewalks and the swells, everything going on. I just can't wait till we get that finished. It looks so nice.
Karen, anything?
No, I think everybody's doing a great job. And I've realized that they are overworked.
We're not overworked. It's just that it's, you don't want to spend time on the topic. But I think it's the variety of things that come in one after another. It is amazing, and more than I would have ever thought. And they just all take time to work through. You know, so Monday, I'm at the law firm. Where were you? You were down working in Bend at EDCO on housing.
Yeah, I was meeting actually with the state building division.
That was earlier
for a while, and then went to EDCO, learning about meeting with Tom Kemper's Housing Works, because affordable housing is a priority and a need in this community. Learning, you know, he expressed that it was a need in this community, and learning what's been tried here and, you know, where we're headed. So that was part of Monday.
Let me just say that I hope I didn't come down hard.
No, he didn't. Not at all.
I've been down here, and I know you guys both are working.
Not at all.
You know,
you're great. I love it. I love code enforcement.
Yeah.
And so that's what I told him. You just have to. I said, you have to go set aside 2 or 3 hours. You got to go take the photos.
Right.
You can't send a 6-month-old photo. So you got to go back out, see if it's there. Get the name in. You have to put what violation it is. Get it. You send it certified regular.
Yep.
And you know, if every week, in an hour or two, you can do a couple of those.
That's two or three.
And that's what you kind of do. And then you get pretty good compliance with that.
Yeah. That was the first thing that I said. Is me trying to set some of that time aside. I have not gotten there yet. I'm working on it.
Because I told him, you have to set it aside and do it, or else you never have time. That's kind of true with some of those things. One thing, Brett, some of you got an invite, but Brian Love and Jarvis, the attorneys, are having their 100-year anniversary party Thursday night at Deschutes Brewery, and you're all invited. It's from 5 to 8. They sent me an email on it, and you know, if any of you wanted to be down in Bend on tomorrow night from 5 to 8, they have libations, food, and cheer for their 100th party. At Deschutes Brewery.
And I can believe they know how to throw a party.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, counselors?
Wait a minute.
Yes, sir. You thought of it.
I did.
Yeah.
And it's coming in 2017.
Oh, the eclipse?
The eclipse, this big eclipse. I don't know if anyone's heard
of it. August the 17th.
Yeah. But what is it? It's supposed to 17th. Be... Tell what happened in Madras. Mm-hmm. This is incredible.
Yeah, they had it. It came up yesterday.
We need to be ready.
Well, the chamber, I think, went to an event. Yeah. Well, we don't know what all the rules will be. That there's a, what kind is it?
Solar eclipse.
Yep. Solar eclipse coming in 2017, and we're going to go dark in the middle of the day on a summer day, and actually in the morning, but it's daylight, and it's like once in whatever, and the. Center of it, the darkest, longest is basically about a mile or two north of Madras. That's called the epicenter, the whatever line. And so the chamber had gotten some calls, but they wanted thousands of people are coming, and they wanted then bring people up to Newberry because these are people that are into kind of stuff, and they're coming from all over the country. And that they would maybe, then, you know, they're going to be here for the weekend. Try to get them here on Saturday, Sunday, because then they can, on their way home, if they're from Portland or Seattle, they could be in the Madras area for the actual event. But they're not going to drive up for a 15-minute event. So and then we're talking about some opportunities, and that the other chambers in the region are talking about. I know the fairgrounds in Madras have been rented by a group that OMSI plans on 5,000 to 10,000 people at Madras Airport. They're doing a whole thing, and then I was working actually on a festival with a company called Symbiosis out of San Francisco with a 50,000 acre ranch east of Madras, and they were going to have a 4-day festival, and that's a little more like Burning Man.
No, you don't want that.
So
it's also the Deschutes County turns 100.
We turn 10.
Newberry Monument is like 25, I think.
Yep.
So all these events in 2017. Mm-hmm. So the Pine needs to, you know, start planning. For
well, 17 might be a good year to push the monument. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to have areas to put banners up. You know, we could work, you know, ahead of time on a theme for that. Here, because with all these new light poles, we'll have the ability to put up banners, and if we plan ahead and allocated a transit room tax money to you know, do some banners and things, and maybe put Newberry and, you know, we can.
Well, you know, we've talked about the arches over a couple of the streets or in certain places. Maybe by 2017, that'll be something that'll have looked at. We'll have the urban renewal district. We'll have 3 years behind them.
Will this be going out here?
Is that 17? Is that, are they doing our sidewalks in
17? Oh yeah, that, the, 17, the spring of 17, they're gonna start the paving all the way from
31.
Well, but our sidewalks, can't, are they done?
That's the year before, yeah. I think.
So they should be done on.
Yeah, yeah, all that's supposed to be done. So,
yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. The mayor doesn't have any comments other than I like those badges you've got.
Oh, oh, you noticed these?
I mean, yes. We now know who you are.
We got these so when we go to meetings, we can be by Tony DeBone and Alan Unger.
We don't want to be outdone by them two.
No.
So, one last thing is I'd like to ask our new counselor if she's got anything to say.
I do have a comment about like the Highway 97 progress. I think it's really going well. It's really taking shape, and it's making Lapine look more like an unincorporated city, and it's kind of taken away from the fact like not everything we have is on Highway 97. Like we have other main streets and stuff, and I feel like that stoplight is kind of gonna draw more people in and like kind of take away from the fact that maybe we aren't all on Highway 97 and maybe encourage people to stop. Yeah.
A good area to think about. Yeah. True. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But we'll get some garbage cans out there for you, so you guys.
Well, just a final comment is that if I've been taking pictures as it's all been over the last number of weeks and weeks, but the students are still getting to McDonald's.
Yeah.
And it's, I've seen some interesting situations around lunchtime when they're crossing the street. So
those sidewalks, they're walking on them now, aren't they?
Yeah, but crossing the street, going amongst when they're pouring cement and those light standards that they're going to have, those little islands and getting across there, it's, it my observations are, the ones I've had were interesting, so. I have no further comments, and I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved and seconded? Anybody second it? Come on.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Adjourn.
We just assumed Stu has a silent second on that. That's not the one.